Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a subject that I think should be important to each and every one of us as Americans, as free citizens, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots. We're asking the question, is America on the brink? Are we on the brink of no return? I'm looking at an article that says the Biden disaster that is destroying America. And it goes into great detail of what is happening with Joe Biden and the undermining, the tearing down, and the literal evisceration of the foundations of America. And is doing so mostly by executive orders. We're talking with on the line today. We have Congressman Mike Hill, former congressman, legislator, representative of District 1. As a Republican, conservative representative, I'm thankful for his life, for his ministry of serving the Lord through the political process. I'm thankful and delighted to have him and his influence and his knowledge of the Word and his stand on principles for America. Have another one that's on the line. Happens to be Greg, one of our sons. We have 4 sons, Greg Youngblood up in the southern tip of heaven, as he calls it. He's been getting a lot of rain up there, though. That's in the northeast point of Tennessee. Delighted to have him. But before we go back to you two, let me ask our guest that is on the line, John, if he would go over this question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. It's awesome having a congressman and your son on the phone. My wife and I, we both have had COVID. I was diagnosed with it in June. She was diagnosed with it in July. Fortunately for myself, it was very mild, but she's going through, they call it long COVID. And she's now taking ivermectin from a doctor, and it's something that's supposed to relieve. She has still challenges with taste. She can taste things, but it doesn't taste like it's supposed to. So she's been going through some things, but as you're talking on the phone and Mike Hill also, we will not take the vaccine. I have some friends that they're trying to implement mandatory vaccines at their place of employment. And I'm just wondering, is there something that can be done about that? Can employers have the right to actually do that? And then talking about identification type stuff, Bill Gates, it's the vaccination credential initiative that they're trying to implement around the world, where you actually are carrying a card around showing that you have the vaccine or you've taken it. But it's just kind of commenting on that. And, you know, what can people do if they're employed somewhere and their employer is saying, okay, if the staff doesn't voluntarily do it, we're going to mandate it. Thank you for your ministry. It's awesome that your son's on the phone. Thank you, Congressman Hill, for everything that you've been doing.
John, thank you for your question, your comments. Congressman, go first. What is your response to John's question? And I think it's the question that multitudes, if not yay, millions across America have today. How do you respond to that if a place of business, a private enterprise, says you've got to have it? I'm looking at an article that says Rutgers University to require all students and faculty members and employees to receive the COVID-19 vaccination before returning to campus this fall. And that's exactly what John was asking. Congressman, how do you respond to that? And then, Greg, give your take to it.
Oh, well, first of all, Dr. Youngblood, I want to say to John, thank you for calling in. And I'm praying for your wife's healing, that God will completely heal her of that condition, and she'll be back to normal. And I applaud your courage to not take the vaccine. Why would you need to if you've already been exposed to the virus and your body has responded to it and has put you in a position where you don't need to take the vaccine? Now, it's interesting that we have legislation that is going through the state of Florida right now. They're currently in session that would protect businesses from being sued if an employee or a customer were to say that they contracted COVID at their place of business. Okay, so we're protecting the businesses, but who's protecting the employees and the customers? In other words, why isn't there some lawsuit going from those students who are returning to Rutgers right now, or some of the employees who are saying, you're infringing upon my rights? You're infringing upon my God-given rights. Where are those lawsuits that are going to protect them? And that's what we need to see. And if I know a lot of trial attorneys who are eager to make a quick buck, we're going to see those lawsuits happen also.
Absolutely. Greg, what is your take on that? What would your response be to John?
I want to thank the Honorable Mike Hill for being with us today. I always appreciate your wisdom. In the midst of this chaos, I would recommend for anybody that's facing that, either the mandatory or the questions, read HIPAA. You know, that's providing protections for your medical front. Read HIPAA. Call an attorney. Get legal advice. Consider a lawsuit. We're going to have somebody that's cutting edge, tip of the spear, that's willing to take on some of this chaos. Anytime you're the tip of the spear, you're going to take some flack. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some energy, effort, money. Just like right now, with Biden and all of his crazy actions, the killing of the Keystone XL, the killing of the Dakota Access Pipeline, the opening up of the border, the shutting down of the enforcement of particular laws dealing with illegal border crossing, executive fiat, he's got just dozens and dozens and dozens of executive actions, most of which violate our constitutional rights or violate U.S. code that's presently in place. You have to fight those things. I mean, literally, we're in an adversarial system when it comes to the judiciary. You have to challenge when you see that something is blatantly unconstitutional. You don't have the obligation. You have tons of folks, literally from the pulpit, you have pastors saying submit to the authorities because that's what the Bible says. Guess what? Every one of our public office holders swears to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So if you see a conflict, you got a responsibility as a good citizen to take that on. If you have the wherewithal, if you have the ability to take it on, take it on. Somehow or another, because we're in the midst of COVID, all of a sudden your rights are supposed to go out the window? What kind of world do we live in? And if your rights can be taken away by something you can't see, you don't have any rights, folks. If you lack the backbone, if you lack spinal fortitude, then yeah, I guess you just roll over and you just give them all up. I want you to know the left doesn't do this. In 1973, in that Roe v. Wade case, listen to the attorneys go back into. And I want you to know that case was decided on a privacy basis. The left coming out saying, we've got our right to abortion. No. The argument there was, this is a privacy issue between a doctor and their patient. Okay, well, they forget about the third person that's in that equation, by the way. That was not even a component in 1973 in Roe v. Wade. The real argument was, we've got privacy. Well, guess what, folks? In today's world, with the leftist fascist in control, they don't want you to have any privacy at all. Matter of fact, they want you to be waving it around at everyone. Look, I've got a vaccination card. By the way, for all you folks out there, this is not to beat you up, but I want to let you know, as you wave this around on Facebook, you're showing everybody, I've got my vaccination card. I want you to know you're announcing to everyone that you're a lab rat. And I don't fault any of you that you're dealing with health conditions and you can't take the risk. I understand that. But for me and my house, not interested in taking the risk. A year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years, 5 years from now, when they say, hey, it's all safe and effective, well, you know what? Then those folks that line up for it, you're not a lab rat anymore because we've got some history behind us. But a year from now, if I pray it doesn't happen, but if things go sideways, a lot of you folks are going to go say, hey, where do I go get this vaccination? It's not a vaccination. Where do I go get this undone? You can't get it undone. It's in your body. It's in your system. If you end up with an autoimmune disorder because of this, I'm going to pray for you, but I can't fix you, folks. I can't. And this is just me. I'm letting you know where I am and what I would do. I'm not interested. Not interested in wearing the mask. It has negligible, if any, benefits. Not interested in getting being a lab rat and getting a vaccination that we have no earthly clue if it's going to be efficacious and if it's not going to harm you. That's just me.
Absolutely. In fact, Greg, that's some good information that I believe our listeners need to understand. In fact, in the UK, I believe there's something like right at 200,000 events now of sterilization, paralyzation, death, blood clots, difficulty in breathing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as a result of it. Mike, let me switch gears for just a moment, if you would. And when we talk about what is taking place with COVID, also under that whole guise of COVID, we were told that you couldn't have large crowds, et cetera, but yet crossing the border, we've got hundreds of thousands of people crossing the border. And I believe someone stated in just a few months ago, don't recall which one, that some 25% of those perhaps have COVID, and yet they're not being vaccinated. Most of them are not being tested, yet they're being transported across America, dispersed across our nation. And I'm looking at an article that says the Biden DHS secretary says, if loving parents send children to the border, we will not expel them. We will only care for them. The Department of Homeland Security secretary refused to call the border surge a crisis. How do you respond to that, Congressman? How should we view that? All of the talking heads on the Communist Network News and other sources are saying that America should be loving, that we should be kind, we should embrace those, because after all, these kids are crossing by themselves, and we need to take care of them. How do you respond to that? Is that really what's happening?
Dr. Youngblood, what we are witnessing before our eyes is a planned invasion.
Yep.
What we are seeing. This whole idea of children coming here unaccompanied because they are running away from poverty and persecution and so forth is nonsense. A loving parent would not send your child alone across hundreds of miles, even thousands of miles, to a destination unknown, knowing that along the way they're going to be abused. It's documented that a good majority of them are facing sexual abuse, these young children. It's a shame. It's a tragedy. I love my children, and there is no way I would tell them, here, go, with the whole plan of knowing that once they get here, that they will be accepted. And then once they are accepted here in the U.S., our loving government will say, well, we must get their parents with them so that they will have a family again. Then that's when the parents come across freely. That's the whole plan. And to extend that plan even further, they know that all of these illegal immigrants, this invasion, will mean more voters for the Democrat Party. And that is the entire plan. I was listening to an interview last week where one of the illegal aliens who was invading our country was interviewed, and they asked him, would you have done this during the Trump administration? He says, no way. He said, I would not have made this trip if Trump was president. He said, because Biden is president, we knew that we had a chance of getting in, and that's why they came.
Absolutely. In fact, Greg, you might want to speak to this statement. I watched an interview, and it was by Tom Holman, the former, ICE agent and at the Border Patrol. And he said that the cartel, listen, and see if you can help get our thinking straight on this for the benefit of our listeners. He said the cartel will transport these kids where their parents have surrendered them to the cartel in exchange for payment, parents getting payment for the cartel to use the kids to cross the border. And then once they cross the border, they're disseminated, they're picked back up, shipped back to Mexico to cross the border again on the pretense they're coming by themselves, and they're simply the tool, the instrument that's being used to make hundreds of millions of dollars for the cartel. That these kids, as the Communist Network News wants to call them, these children, are being used as pawns in order to make millions for the cartel, and their parents and their relatives being paid because they've started doing, some of them, they've done DNA. And when someone crosses with them, they find the DNA doesn't even match. There's no relative of that individual that they're being released to. But they release them to those anyway. And they're simply in that cycle of going back, coming in, going back, coming in, going back, and churning out millions for the cartel. Are you familiar with that? And what is the statement on that from you?
That's absolutely correct. The children have become the golden ticket. And in an age where the Biden administration says, hey, if you're unaccompanied minor, 10 years old, whatever, we're not going to kick you out of the country. And they moved that to 18 years old now. I guess if you're tatted up with MS-13 all over your body and you're 17 years old, or if you're 24 but you say you're 17 because you don't have ID, you can't kick them out because these are minors and we have to look out for them. It's a manipulation of the system. And what probably the most horrible point of this is, you know, along with the fact that illegal drugs are coming across the border, gangs are coming across the border, special interest aliens are coming across the border, weapons are coming across the border. Along with all that, the President of the United States, our Commander-in-Chief, our Article II representative, is not faithfully executing the law. It's required in the Constitution that our Chief Executive faithfully execute the law. That's not happening. You know, they're somehow or another, folks have just forgotten our Constitution. This border, though, and I want to specifically address, if you're a believer out there, if you call yourself my brother or sister in Christ, and you're saying, well, we need to be caring and compassionate and loving, I want to ask you this question. Is it caring and compassionate and loving to let a minor be abused horrifically, while approaching that border, and then to receive them in, to go into those revolving doors, to allow folks that have ill intent to come into this country, is that a good Christian thing to do? To have wide open borders, is it a good Christian thing to do? To not vet folks coming into our country and put everyone inside of our country at risk, is that a good and Christian thing to do? Is it the government's role to be charitable? Now, let's back up for just a second, because the United States of America takes more legal immigrants and refugees on the average a million a year. For decades we've been doing that. We take more than any other country on the face of the planet. Okay, and let me tell you some of the folks that we take here. A person, let's say that we've got a 20-something year old that traveled 1,000 miles or more on foot to make it to our border. That person is oftentimes fit and able. That is the person that could do the very best, the very most for making their country, Guatemala, their country, Colombia, their country, Venezuela. They could make their country better. But what do? We let them come in here. We let them stay on the order potentially of over 22 million. That's a quarter of, from what I understand, numbers have been crunched. A quarter of the Mexican population is inside the United States now, sending money back home and these kind of things. Those individuals could fix their countries. It's not a problem with the soil. They can grow things in Mexico. They can grow things in Venezuela. They can grow things in all these different countries. It's a matter of government. And literally, because we are many times accepting them here, we're doing damage to those countries because those people would be potentially active in eradicating the evils in their country and raising up good government. It's bad government. By the way, yes. when we send money down there, and Biden, I guarantee you, he's going to send hundreds of millions, billions of dollars to all these countries. Guess who's going to get it and use it? Folks like Hugo Chavez. And Hugo Chavez's daughter is the richest woman a few years ago in Venezuela. I wonder how she got that way. I mean, all of the corruption. By the way, and to the libertarian, I've addressed the Christian, to the libertarian, because I've got a lot of libertarian brethren, good folks out there. But this notion that an open border is the way we ought to be, dude, we're a stinking welfare state. We have folks that will come here, and immediately they'll get their welfare benefits, their EBT card, their Section 8 housing, their low-income heating assistance, their child care assistance, all these different things. Individuals that have never paid a dime in taxes in this country will come in and become leeches within our system. We have shut down dozens, if not hundreds, of hospitals in proximity to the border because people come in, they get services, and walk right out the door and do not pay. Guess who pays? We pay. The taxpayer yes. pays. The insurance payer pays. Your right. grandkids will pay for things that are being given away today.
Yes. Greg, Listen, Greg and the congressman, hold on just for a moment. We have Bob on the line, I believe, with a question or comment. Bob, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I have a good question for you. It used to be that all of this is done to get votes, like you said, for the Democrats. All these immigrants will probably vote Democratic. Do the Democrats still have to do all this dirty work? I mean, why don't they just do what they did for the last election and just, you know, create 100 million votes through the machines? Why do they need people?
Yes, that's a good question, Bob. Congressman, let me switch to you. I've looked at article after article after article where state after state, and the battleground states in particular, they're discovering more and more that there was indeed fraud on a major basis in the five battleground states. What are you hearing? What do you know about some of the investigatory and court cases that's revealing that today?
Yes, I'm hearing the same thing, Dr. Youngblood, that investigations are taking place in those battleground states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia. Where just recently in Georgia, Governor Kemp signed in a law, a measure to prevent this ballot harvesting that's going on. And of course, it's being called voter suppression and racist, which is complete nonsense. But I think what, to answer Bob's question, why do they need all these immigrants if they're just going to cheat? I think it's because they can see the handwriting on the wall that they cheated and stole this past election, but they may not be able to do so freely in future elections. So kind of as a Trump card, no pun intended, they are bringing in the illegals as a new voting base for them, because we are seeing that young people who typically will vote socialist and leftist because of not having any life experiences and not being mean, but simply because they're ignorant, as they grow older and gain knowledge and those life experiences, they start voting more and more towards conservatism. Well, the Democrats know that, so they have to have a new dependent base of people who will vote for them. We saw in this last election one of the highest numbers ever of black Americans voted for President Trump. I think it was 18%, as high as 20% in some places.
21% in one of the states.
And that was a shock to them. They typically, if it's under 10%, they're okay with that. But when we see it doubling what their expectations were, they know that they need to have a new dependent class come in. And so that's why they're having these illegals who are coming in. And kind of along with Greg's point, I saw an interview with Senator Marsha Blackburn yesterday, where she was speaking of these cartels who are making so much money along the border right now, and that they are organized, that they wear certain wristbands to identify who they are and which cartel they belong to. And they wear uniforms. They're given shoes and pants and certain colored shirts that they wear to come across. It is an invasion. And unfortunately, the Biden administration is so inept and so corrupt that they don't even know how to stop it. Our Border Patrol, the brave Border Patrol people who are there, are being overwhelmed. And the poor citizens in along those border states, Texas, Arizona, and California, are also being overwhelmed. It is just a tragedy that we're seeing before our eyes.
Absolutely. And Greg, you are, Congressman can respond to this, but talking about the border again, we have H.R. 1 that's being pushed now through the Senate. It's passed in the House, being pushed through the Senate. H.R. 1, how will that affect our nation, Congressman? How will it affect American voters? Bob asked the question about the voting. How would that affect our voting in the future? If H.R. 1 is passed, will we ever have a two-party system again?
Well, here's the thing, Dr. Youngblood. I like what Senator Ted Cruz calls H.R. 1 in that Senate Bill 1. It's a Politicians' Corruption Act. And he simply what it does is it does all the illegal voting schemes that the Democrats used in this last election, it will codify it into federal law. Here's the thing, though. Here's the good news about that, that states have a process called nullification, where we do not have to accept that in our state. And I belong to a group here in Florida called Defend Florida, where we are essentially pushing back, where we are not going to accept any unconstitutional laws that are coming from this corrupt government in Washington, D.C. right now.
Amen. I believe we have Derwin on the line. Derwin, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I wanted to point out that we were kind of had our feet nailed at the start line on this entire issue years ago, because the main propaganda machines, which ran all the media and everything else, made certain that the term used was illegal immigrant. And that is as false a term as can be. And it's almost as though you're accepting half of the illegality because it's an immigrant. Instead, we should all of us who know better, should call it what it is, a criminal invader. Each one, a criminal invader. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comment. You're exactly right, Derwin. How do you respond to that, Greg?
Well, you know, you mentioned H.R. 1, and you know, that's another PC bill, you know, perpetual corruption. And they want to nationalize these elections and lock in the features that allow them to be the most corrupt, the most dishonest, lock in things like no voter ID requirements. Years back, I had a nice little debate with Andy Johnson. He used to call himself down to business, Andy Johnson. What an embarrassment. When I say an embarrassment, Andy, if you're listening right now, call me, buddy. Call me. The reality is, here he always bragged about his credentials. He's a former state legislator and a Dartmouth graduate. Well, the state of Florida had in its legislative, and I presume it's still that way, a voter request provision. Voter request. There's a difference between requesting an ID and requiring an ID. Tons of places, they request an ID, and when you refuse to provide it, you can also demand a ballot. They give you a ballot. It goes into the system, and in some places it may be challenged and thrown out. Other places it's not challenged and left in.
Greg, in some places
you have to go back and validate.
We're going to have to end it there, Greg. Thank you so much, because our time has evaporated on us. Congressman, would you like to have a final word to our listeners, challenging them to faithfully keep standing?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I would simply say I would encourage them. One of my favorite verses, Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee? Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, because the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Take heart, be of good courage.
Amen. Congressman, thank you for joining us today. Greg, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
It's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.